This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
As we look around the world, we can't help but to notice the many distinctions of worship and belief of what God is, what He expects, and how He wants to be known and acknowledged. Admittedly, it becomes quite confusing as to what is right and what is wrong, what is false and what is true. And though our Bible says God wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth, this statement brings to mind some obvious and very serious questions concerning the characterization of God that so many cultures of the world believe about Him. I mean, do we really believe God wants to be portrayed in so many different ways? And if not, how much of what we see around the world is deceptive and false? How much should we embrace and adopt as truth? Well, on today's program, we will attempt to illustrate how a certain Christian holiday is used to obfuscate the truth by misdirecting, camouflaging, and counterfeiting the historical details from you and I. Unfortunately, this has been going on for generations and has served to reinforce so many misconceptions about God, His nature, and what He expects of us. So stay with us as we explore some specific facts about the Christmas deception.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for our program today. What I want to talk about today is the Christmas deception. Now let me repeat that for emphasis. The Christmas deception. Now what do I mean by that? Well, what does the word deception mean? Deception means to hide or distort the truth. And I got to be honest with you, Christmas was my favorite holiday. I loved everything about Christmas. I loved giving presents. I loved getting presents. I loved Christmas dinner. I loved getting together with my relatives. I loved the fact that I was off from school during the Christmas season, and everybody seemed a little happier, a little bit gayer in this particular time of the year. Now, what's my problem with Christmas then? What is the deception of Christmas? Well, when I was in high school, sitting in study hall one day, I had a friend who was a Jehovah's Witness, and it was the Christmas season, and he knew I was religious, and somehow we got to talking about Christmas. And he told me Christmas originated in a pagan festival, that Jesus was not born on December 25th, and I was taken aback. I didn't know what to think about this information. I talked to my mother, I talked to my priest, and they put my mind at rest that it was okay. The Jehovah's Witnesses just saw things a little differently. The Greek Orthodox Church could determine how they would worship Jesus Christ. So I didn't think much more of it until a year or two later, I was actually reading an article and learning about details of the origin of Christmas. I put two and two together and began to do more extensive research and prove to myself, as I'd like you to do for yourself, that Christmas did originate in paganism. Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th. So, what is it with this deception word I'm using? Well, I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 to get you in on something here. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 13. It says this, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now, this is the first century that we're talking here. I'm not saying anything about priests out there. I'll let you make up your own mind about that. But what I want to pull from this is Satan can appear as an angel of light. Satan is a deceiver and a manipulator. And if he could alter the holy days of God into other days, don't you think he would do it? That's what I want to look at today. And the most important point I want to make today is God has holy days that he's already created that we lose sight of if we are observing Christmas and Easter. Now, before we get into the details of this, I want to offer you some free literature and also a free full-length sermon CD on this subject. To get the CD titled Exposing Christmas and the booklet called Come to the Feast, please call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to the website to learn more about our weekly sermon webcast. Go to www.cgi.org. You can also download the CD and the booklet from our website if you go to the menu item Media and then choose Sermons, go to Media, and then choose Literature. Don't forget, you can also get that CD and that booklet on our CGI Digital Network app. The CGI Digital Network app is free at the Amazon, Google, and Apple app stores. Thanks again for joining us on this edition of The Armor of God. We're talking about the Christmas deception. And what we talked about at the onset of the program was the fact that Christmas originated in pagan traditions. All the accoutrements of Christmas, the tree, the wreath, the mistletoe, the lights, the date of Christmas, all of these things originated in celebrations to pagan gods. And I want to give you a little bit of that information today. And what I'd like to do to begin with is this concept of a Christmas tree. Now ask yourself, is there anywhere in the Bible where a tree is associated with Jesus Christ's birth? There is not. Let me assure you, there is not. But let me show you something over in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 17. Now, this isn't about a Christmas tree, but the ancient peoples worshipped all kinds of things. And one of their idols became trees, actually. There was a reason they worshipped trees, especially the evergreen tree. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 17, I'm going to give you just a little inkling into the beginning of this type of worship, this type of idolatry. In 2 Kings 17, beginning in verse 9, listen to what it says. "And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. They built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city, and they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. Now, this isn't about tree worship, but we see that the reason green trees were important to the ancients was because it was a symbol of everlasting life. Those trees that stayed green year-round were looked at as symbols of sustained life. And that's why these pagans, these idolatrous believers, worshiped things like the creative process rather than the Creator. The evergreen tree, because it stayed green all the time. The egg, because new life came from the egg. So we see the beginnings of tree worship right back here in the Bible. But modern day Christmas trees came from Germany. Again, pagan peoples in Germany who were into tree worship bring us today our modern day Christmas tree. It had nothing to do with Jesus Christ, but it was looked at in the winter because that's when all the other trees had lost their leaves, and then it was connected to Christ's birthday much later. What about another plant, the mistletoe plant? This was a sacred plant among the Druids, and you've probably heard, go get a kiss under the mistletoe. Now why? Why do we get a kiss under the mistletoe? Well, the Druids looked at the mistletoe plant as a symbol of fertility. They were looking for blessings under the mistletoe plant, so kissing someone under the mistletoe was the first step in a reproductive process. It was a good luck charm for you to have a baby. Once again, how did this become part of Christmas? There's nothing in your Bible that has anything to do with mistletoe and Jesus Christ. What about the wreaths we put on our houses, on the front door, or on our cars at the Christmas season? Once again, think of the symbol of a wreath, that circular symbol. The ancients worshiped the sun god in the winter season. Why? Because the sun had been going away in the fall. The daylight was decreasing, but when we get to the winter solstice, what happens? The sun starts to come back into the daytime sky. They were praying to their sun god at this time of year to come back, and the wreath, the circular symbol, was a symbol of the sun. Now, the wreath is also a symbol of the female sexual organ. When you look back in history, that was also worshipped by the ancients as another pagan symbol. What about candles and lights around Christmas? Once again, the ancients built bonfires in this winter season as appeasement to the sun god to come back into the sky. And that's where we get these ideas of lights. Now, here's how the syncretism of Christianity and paganism works. What did the Christian teachers who were asking people to celebrate Christmas say about these lights? Well, they used scripture and they said Jesus is the light of the world. So this will be a good line to use to appease our believers in Jesus Christ, that He is the true light of the world, and we can overcome these bonfires and fires that have been built by the pagans. But once again, does God allow that? That's the important question to ask yourself. What does God think about it? And I'm going to get to what God thinks about it a little bit later, but I want to read an interesting quote. I don't want you to just believe me, all right? I want you to do the research on your own. Convince yourself if this has your mind turning a little bit. like my mind was turning sitting in that study hall with the Jehovah Witness. I'm going to be reading from the new Schaff-Herzog Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge, an authoritative source on all things having to do with Christianity. And listen to this. I'm quoting from this source now. How much the date of the festival, speaking of Christmas, depended upon the pagan Brumalia, December 25th, following the Saturnalia, another pagan festival, December 17th through the 24th, and celebrating the shortest day of the year and the new sun, cannot be accurately determined. So we can't give you quotes from churchmen saying, okay, we're going to do this at this time for this. We can't give you quotes like that, but notice what it says. Cannot be accurately determined, period. The pagan Saturnalia and Brumalia were too deeply entrenched in popular custom to be set aside by Christian influence. In other words, the Christians couldn't beat them. They couldn't get rid of these festivals, so what did they do? They incorporated these festivals. Quoting again from the source, the pagan festival with its riot and merrymaking was so popular that Christians were glad of an excuse to continue its celebration with little change in spirit and in manner. Christian preachers of the West and the Near East protested against the unseemly frivolity with which Christ's birthday was celebrated, while Christians of Mesopotamia accused their Western brethren of idolatry and sun worship for adopting as Christian this pagan festival. So even from the beginnings of the celebration of Christmas, there was division within Christianity over whether or not this should be celebrated. Now, to go further, December 25th was not the date of Jesus' birthday. It is actually a pagan day that the pagans worship their sun god and other gods on that specific date of December 25th. Now, when you think about the scholars who've studied this subject, they point out that the shepherds would not be in their fields in the winter season, that the shepherds in the Middle East usually come out of the fields by mid-October. And if you do a search on this subject, when was Jesus born, you will find there are scholars who believe he was born in the spring of the year. There are scholars who believe he was born in the fall of the year. But there aren't any good scholars out there who believe Jesus was born in the winter or on December 25th. Again, another factor to remember is for 300 years after Jesus had left the earth, Christmas was not celebrated as a Christian festival. It wasn't until the 300s AD that this particular date became a part of Christianity to some degree. Now, does the Bible have anything to say about this? And that's where we want to go to really make up our mind. In John chapter 4, I want to read a scripture to you, and then a couple others after that. But in John chapter 4, notice what it says in verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, when you tell your kids that Jesus was born on December 25th, that's not truth. That's just not truth. Now, you may say, well, that's not a big deal. That's a little white lie. Well, let me tell you something. When I came to understand that Jesus was not born on December 25th as a young third grader, I had a problem with it. It bothered me that Jesus was not born on December 25th. Again, I should say I learned that Santa Claus was not real as a third grader. I came to learn Jesus was not born later in my life. But both of those things upset me as a child. See, it's still upsetting me today that I forgot exactly what had happened back then. But it is true that I was upset when I came to learn that my church was teaching me that Jesus was not born on December 25th. They admitted it to me. They admitted it while as a kid they were telling me it's Jesus' birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. Understand how my mind was working then when I started to wonder about everything else they were teaching me. So when we look at the Bible, here's my major point. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 12, what does God have to say about worshiping Him the way other nations have worshiped their gods? Because that's what we're doing around Christmas. We are bringing in all of these trappings of pagan religion and using it to worship the true God. But God says, no, no, I won't have that. I will tell you how to worship me. And back here in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 29, it says this, "When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." So God is clear as to how he would look at these pagan trappings being used to worship him. And I know the argument you're going to make. The argument you're going to make, I've heard it before, that we don't look at these symbols in the way that the pagans looked at them. I get that. I understand that. Here's my point back to that. What are we missing when we observe Christmas, Easter, Halloween, Valentine's Day? What we are missing are the true holy days of God. God has established holy days in His Word. In Leviticus chapter 23, we read about the seven annual holy days of God. And what did I say about deception at the start of this program? Deception hides. Deception hides. And what does Christmas and Easter hide and all the other famous holidays? They hide the truth of God's holy days. Why are God's holy days so important? They tell us about the strategic plan of God, what He's doing here with mankind, what the purpose of life is, where we're headed, why things are going the way they're going, and what we're going to get to eventually. It answers the question as to what happens to everyone else who's died and has never heard about Jesus Christ. You will hear answers from Christians about that make no sense at all. But when you understand God's holy days, you understand that God has a plan even for those who have died and have never heard His voice. Yes, the holy days which are hidden by the Christian holidays of today will help you cope with this world and the shape that it is in. Without that knowledge of the holy days, you are diminished in your understanding of what is happening in the world today. Make no mistake about it, the early Christians celebrated these holy days of God. Even years after Christ had left this earth, the early Christians were observing these holy days. And I have limited time. I will give you one scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Listen to this. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast." What feast? That's not Easter. That's not Christmas. That's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is some 30 years after Christ has left the earth. And the first century Christians are observing God's holy days. They had not been hidden away yet. That was to come later in the 300s AD. They're keeping God's holy days with the new understanding of Christ within those holy days. But even more importantly than that, Christ is our example, and Christ kept all of these holy days. You can find evidence of that throughout the gospel accounts. He even kept one that many Christians maybe have never heard about, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. You can read that in John chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, how Jesus was even keeping this Feast of Tabernacles, which is going to symbolize God tabernacling with man once again in that kingdom of God time frame during the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. I want you to please get that CD that I talked about at the beginning of the program, Exposing Christmas. It will get into detail on things that I've discussed today. I also want you to receive the booklet, Come to the Feast. Understand more about these holy days of God, which have been hidden by the Christmas deception. When you begin to understand the depth and symbology within these holy days, it will make you so happy that you will jump in the air, as I have done, coming to learn about God's holy days. Once again, call us toll free at 1-888-578-8791 or go to the website www.cgi.org to get that booklet and get that free CD. So long for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.